I found out something very unsettling about Harry.
Gambles.
What do you mean he gambles? He plays craps in the back room of a private club. I mean, you know, Yule 11. Come on, little Joe. Snake Eyes. Hard way. That's how it goes. He loses a lot of money. You had no idea? No, I didn't.
Welcome to the Crap Vegas Podcast.
Vegas, here we come.
Vegas.
Here are your hosts, Chris and Josh.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 33 of the Crap Vegas Podcast. I am Chris. He is Josh. Josh, what's new out on the West Coast?
It is getting hot here. 85 coming up this week, or 86, somewhere in there, high 80s. What about you?
Yeah, that's not terrible.
You know, it's time for the weather report when you ask me that question, right?
Weather and illnesses. Any good doctor's visits this week, Josh?
Nah, no good doctor's visits. What I was going to say, though, we're on episode 33. We are running out of roulette numbers, even.
Oh, wow. Reggie's going to be really upset soon. Oh, my. Okay. Well, let's just tell people how to get in touch with us. That's usually a safe start to every episode. You can
There's like seven ways, right?
Well, there's a handful, and it changes every episode, so you never know what you're going to get. You can reach us via email. That's podcast@crapvegas.com. You can reach us on our Facebook group. That's crapvegas.com/Facebook, and it will send you right over to the page. I know we've had a lot of good interactions on there. I think we're up to like 350, 400 members on there. It's been great.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail. That's crapvegas.com/voicemail. And I promise if you leave us one, I will check it one day and play one. And then finally, Twitter, he's at Vegas Duffy. I'm at Small Whale 13, or the show page is Crap Vegas. And I laugh, Josh, because after giving all that information out, I remember I got a DM last night from somebody on the Facebook group saying they couldn't get a hold of me. And I'm thinking, there is so many ways to get a hold of me. I don't even know what to do. So I don't know how that's possible.
I tested the email address after I saw that on Facebook, and it worked for me. So it may have been user error. I don't want to, you know, want to disparage our Facebook user, but
yeah. And one of our listeners even said, have you tried on Twitter? Cause they're always on there. And that is pretty much 100% true. If you send me a DM in Twitter, you usually get a response pretty quickly.
And I think both Chris and I are on Threads.
Haven't logged in yet, but I do have an account.
I've checked it occasionally, but I'm Vegas Duffy. He's Small Whale 13. So we are the same as our Twitter handles, I believe.
And I'll even say, Josh, I found out to create a Threads account, you had to have an Instagram account, which I didn't have as well. And every day now I get a little notice. It's like, you have a new follower. And I was like, who is following me? I haven't even talked about it. And people are following me on Instagram. So yeah, there won't be anything posted on there, people. So thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, right now it's probably not the best way to get a hold of us, but we are there.
No, for me, it was just a placeholder action. I just wanted to make sure I saved my name. Like, I'm hoping that you at some point reserve the Crap Vegas name for us. But
I haven't yet, but I might before the show comes out.
Josh, that's the only thing that you're good for. I mean, you are the Dr. Mike of helping with these things. But saying that, I was really happy to tell people that our last Patreon episode, Josh is the one that edited it. And that was really exciting because he had never done that before. It turned out amazingly. And that is one less thing I'm ever going to have to worry about again.
Yes, I'm actually more excited to edit this episode than I am to record with Chris. It's more fun to cut out all the mistakes we make.
I'm going to intentionally talk over you as many times as I can. I'm going to get really far away from my microphone and get really close to my microphone just to see what happens.
I'm going to go every once in a while.
It's going to be really fun. Okay, Josh, let's get into previous episode feedback. We got a message on Patreon from Sean. Sean said, I love hearing about how you view your gambling budget. I have also settled on putting aside X dollars a month and consider it lost as soon as I put it aside. For the first time, I'm actually tracking my wins and losses this year after having a hefty tax bill from a slot win a few years ago. Do you find that keeping close track of win-losses makes it mentally harder to separate gambling money from other money? It's been a new emotional reaction for me. So I wasn't 100% sure if you were referring to, you know, keeping money in a separate gambling account versus keeping it all in the same place and how win-losses tie into that. So let me at least start by saying a couple different things. I think keeping money in a gambling account makes everything a heck of a lot easier, whether you're trying to figure out how much you win or lost. It just, in general, it helps you with budgeting for your trips and, you know, can I take another trip? Am I ahead for the year? Am I way down for the year and I need to slow down? I think it forces you to only use the money that you're allocating. Now, of course, you could go in and grab more money and throw it in there and say, yeah, it came from my gambling account. But I really do love the idea of keeping your money for gambling in a completely separate account. And when it's gone, it's gone. Or if it's high, then go crazy. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And I see what you're getting at. I think that, you know, if your gambling account goes to zero, it hits home. And it, yes, it's separate in bank accounts or separate in your mind, however you separate it. But it is all the same money that is yours. And if you've all of a sudden lost that X amount of money that was in your gambling account, it's emotionally hard for sure. I mean, when I look at, you know, my win-loss statement at MGM this year, that is like, okay, sure, it came out of my gambling budget, but it's like, that's real money. That's, you know, money that's all the same in the grand scheme of things. That's, you know, mine or my household. When you realize what that amount is, sometimes it's hard.
Now, Josh, you don't track wins and losses by trip or anything like that, do you? You don't keep a log of this trip I won $3,000 and this trip I lost $5,000, do you?
Oh, absolutely I do, IRS, if you're listening. Yes, I keep a journal. Absolutely.
Okay. That wasn't a gotcha question. I wasn't trying to lure you into the IRS scope there. I can at least tell you from my perspective, I don't keep track on a trip by trip basis, you know, and day by day exactly what happens. I think that's one of the big benefits of having a separate gambling account.
Yeah,
especially if you're a credit player and that's where your money's coming from. It's really easy to see, you know, on this date, X dollars came out that, you know, I lost it for that trip. And then for the next trip, I deposited $4,000 back into the account. So that was a winning trip or whatever it is. I think it really helps you keep good, you know, tabs on where you are for the year and how things have been going. Whereas if you're just pulling it from your general account, that makes things a lot harder to see the ins and outs and, you know, oh, here's $500 from an ATM and here's $100 I put in. Did this really come from gambling? I just like that idea of keeping the funds separate, and I think it's just good for many purposes.
Me too. I think it's much easier to get yourself into trouble, either personally or with your family or whatever, if it's all coming out of one, you know, one account. If you separate it, you know, when that gets to zero, for example, you at least have to make a conscious decision of, do I want to fund that from somewhere else? If it's all just coming out of one fund, then as Chris said, you know, you take $500 out of an ATM here or there, and you know, pretty soon you've gone through much more than you thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that answers your questions a little bit there, Sean. But, you know, good job keeping it separate and trying to keep track of that. The more detail, the better from the IRS's perspective. And if that helps you become a, you know, a perfectly responsible, more responsible gambler, whatever it may be, I think it's great.
I did want to say, and I think I've mentioned this before, there was one time when I forgot to claim the terms better, but when I forgot to claim a W-2G on my taxes, and I hadn't, you know, declared any or offset any gambling losses. So all of a sudden, 2 years later or so, I got a bill for the taxes owed on that $2,000 jackpot or whatever it was. And that was like, okay, this is what I'm doing wrong.
So you didn't want to bend your return from back then and put in your losses to offset it and all that?
No, that would have been just more, it was, you know, it wasn't huge.
It's just easier to pay the bill and move on.
Yeah, I just paid it and lesson learned. Right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Okay, let's move on to the next question. We got a DM from our patron Boondocks about his recent Caesars trip. Josh, he says he wanted to give us a quick update on his trip. He stayed at the Augustus Premium Suite. Room turned out okay in the end. I would put it on par with the Bellagio Penthouse Suites. Kind of old and outdated, but not really bad at all. Not close to Aria, but not bad either. The food was surprisingly good. I would give it a solid 85 out of 100. I'm going to stop there, Josh. It's not too many times that people give you a rating out of 100. So that was very nice of him to be very detailed and give it an 85 out of 100.
Yes. And I like that because there's a lot of room below that to go.
There is. Know? I mean, tons of room for fluctuation there, you know, and he's, I mean, because if you start using a 10-point scale, then you got to get into decimals and it gets messy.
Yeah, exactly.
But he did say, for comparison, Josh, he would rate the Aria Sky Suites at 100 and Bellagio Penthouse Suites at 90. So he's putting the Caesars Augustus Premium Suite just below Bellagio, but he's got Sky Suites at the very top.
And I don't know that he's ever stayed at Wynn. So, you know, that's colored a little bit, I think, by that. But I think we'd agree that they're fairly close at the top of the list.
I've never been treated well enough to have a suite at Wynn, so I couldn't tell you what it's like either, but I'm sure there it's nice.
There is that. That's good to hear, though. I mean, obviously, Boondocks is a higher level player, and I know just from talking to him offline and things like that he gets treated very well at every property. So I think that the Caesars host was eager to woo him and give him a good experience. And I believe he went to see Garth Brooks on this trip. I think that was the reason that they stayed at Caesars. Yeah. So it's good. And I think he was pessimistic going in. I think he was worried about the experience. So I'm glad to hear that it worked out well.
Okay, so he finished up his message, Josh. He said, "We've been spoiled by our Aria host, so we were skeptical about Caesars, but we were truly..."
I think I said that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you just would have waited 2 seconds, I would have got to it. But you know what? Whatever. Keep it rolling here. He says he was truly happily surprised. He said, "Two, with your spouse kind of places we liked were Vanderpump at Paris and the Eiffel Tower for brunch. Two biggest surprise nights out for great food were the Bedford and Amalfi at Caesars. Both fantastic." So there's some great tips for you from somebody that wants to live a slightly more luxurious life in Vegas than Josh and I ever typically do. And I haven't even thought about bringing my girlfriend with me recently. It's been kind of nice not having her the past few trips. So I'm just going
to
put those.
Makes it more fun for me. Yeah. I think you and I are going to have to go to Vanderpump's.
Oh, just together? Yeah.
Just, I mean, because it's the, what was that? What did he say? It's the two with your spouse kind of places. So, you know.
So we'll go see Magic Mike, and then we'll go over to Vanderpump afterwards to celebrate.
Or what's the one at Rio? The Chippendale.
Thunder Down Under.
Yes.
Or Chippendale's one of those guys.
Yeah. One of the, we're Thunder Down Under, maybe Luxor? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, Josh. I haven't seen any of them, thankfully.
Me either.
But I assume one of them's there. Okay. So thank you, Boondocks, for that. We appreciate it. Josh, let's start talking about the rest of our trip. On our last episode, you and I had gone out for your birthday trip. We arrived on a Wednesday. We were leaving on Sunday. It was a really long trip. First two nights at Wynn, last two nights at Aria. And when we cut off last time, it was Saturday morning. We were at Aria. We were having a great time. We had just seen a show. And here we are.
Here we are Saturday morning. We met all those listeners. I won't name them again. We talked about on the last episode. But we're playing Coffee Dice. And actually, before we played Coffee Dice even, Chris and I started playing some slots, oftentimes first thing in the morning. I don't like to, I'm one of those people that am a little hesitant to jump right into a craps table for some reason. I like to wander the floor. I know you're not.
Let's go.
You're playing blackjack at 3 a.m. So
I didn't do that this trip. Thank you.
But I don't know if any of you or any of our listeners are like this, but I need a few minutes to kind of warm up to the dice table. So oftentimes, first thing in the morning, whether Chris is there or not, I'll throw a few hundred or whatever in a slot machine just to kind of get my gambling, jitters down or whatever. So I think, if my memory is correct, Chris, we jumped into some high-limit slots. Is that right to start with?
Yeah, that sounds right for the day. And I think we briefly mentioned it last episode, since this is now a slot podcast. But Josh and I started talking. So when we play slots, we're typically in a high limit room, and we're typically playing $15, $20, $30 a spin. It's not...
When you say typically, only the last couple trips.
It's a new thing, but you know what?
Yeah. It's typical now, right?
I mean, we're evolving as people, Josh. This is what we do. But anyway, so we typically play, a large amount per spin. These are, high dollar bets, and we aren't, buying in for $5,000 or $10,000 at a slot machine. We're usually coming in for like, $1,000 at most.
Right, right.
But one thing that you find, and I'm sure a lot of you have had this before, no matter what game it is, if you're sitting next to a friend of yours or spouse or whatever, and they're winning and you're losing, or you're winning and they're losing, it can create animosity between the two of you. And I think Josh and I are very good-natured people, so it really doesn't bother us because we've done this many times on previous trips.
But we get jealous.
I mean, if I get an $8,000 hand pay and Josh loses his $1,000 in 5 minutes, that's going to create a little jealousy and frustration. There's no way around it.
Right.
So we said, hey, why don't we just put the same amount on the machine each, and whatever happens at the end, we split it. If we win, we split the win. If we lose, we split the loss. And honestly, I think it was the best thing we ever did from me a too. Slot perspective. I mean, we could do the same thing on a craps table, Josh, but we end up in the same place anyway. So it really
that's what I was going to say. Our styles are close enough that we're not far off anyway. So, I mean, you know, unless we hit the all small four times and you finish up, you know, $5,000 ahead on that, we're close. And for the most part, we're close. So it's not that. And so this is, we came up with like a mini group poll idea.
The two of us.
just the two of us. Yeah. Yep. Except for playing two machines. But yeah, as Chris said, that worked really well, except for the fact if you didn't, a couple times, like Chris had a slot ticket for a few dollars more than what we were putting in.
So you we know, just kind of had to track it and do that whole thing. But
you were better at that than I was.
No, but I think, you know, it worked out really well because there was a couple sessions that we did that and, you know, we lost a little bit of money. We split the loss in half and we were a little happier with how it turned out.
Right.
And one thing I did find is when we had a big win, because usually when you're playing that kind of level, you're going to get a hand pay eventually. It really doesn't take that long because you're betting so much. I'm not saying it's a good hand pay, but you're going to get one.
Right.
But it turns out what typically would happen is if one of us completely busted out, the other one would hit a hand pay. It reached a natural good stopping point for the session. You split that hand pay in half. We're probably right back with where we started, if not up a few $100. And everybody's happy. Everybody's earning tier credits for playing on their own card.
Right.
You know, we're not concerned with each other when it comes to like tax ramifications. Well, we have plenty of losses to cover these wins.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think we're good from that perspective. But no, I think it was a great idea. And I definitely encourage anybody that's, you know, traveling with a friend or even if you're playing with your spouse, you know, just to say, hey, you know, if you keep separate bank accounts, let's put them together. But, you know, playing on a combined budget really works well. And I know we've even talked about in the past, Josh, if you're at a craps table and you can't afford the limit at the table for whatever reason, you're a $300 player and your buddy's a $300 player, but it's a $25 table. You know, using this system just to play different numbers, he plays the, you know, 9 and 10, and you play the 4 and 5, and you skip the 6 for some reason because that's the numbers I went with. You know, put it together at the end. Somebody might get killed. Somebody might make some money. I think it's great.
Me too. So tell everybody, because they might be curious, what slot machines did we play the most?
Oh, I'm not good with slot machine names at all.
Well, I'm not either, but we played the piggy bank one.
I think, yeah, Josh loves that piggy banking, I think is what it's called. Yeah. It's,
and then there's the one with the...
But we do like the Huff and Puff.
That's the one.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the Huff and Puff, and I really like the Huff and Puff that has the wheel that you get to spin sometimes. That can be really fun, too. I'm sorry for all our long-term listeners.
That's what I was going to say. This is about the end of our slot talk. So
okay, so let's move on, Josh. We got over to a craps table. We got situated. We got inundated with a ton of listeners that came up to the table that morning and wanted to play with us, which was absolutely awesome. And I know we called most of them out last week, but let's talk about the couple that you had in our notes that you definitely wanted to single out.
So first of all, thanks again to Blair, who, as Chris said on the last episode, made a few bets for us. I think maybe on the 5 and 9 that didn't hit at all.
He threw some hard ways out. He put some 5s and 9s. Not a single bet hit.
But it was just bad. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's right. No, but then we had our listener Ron, who I mentioned on the last show, that played with us for quite a while, and it was a good session that we had. And Ron, and I hope you don't mind me calling you out, Ron, but I thought this was funny enough that it was worth sharing.
Oh,
Ron is a fairly superstitious fellow, I'm going to say.
And, extremely.
And among other things, as Ron is shooting. He's kind of setting the dice a little bit, and he looked over at us and said, I hope you guys don't mind. I took a class like 20 years ago and played, you know, $300 for a dice session, dice setting lesson. And so whether it works or not, I'm damn well going to do it because I spent that good money on it.
And we said, do whatever makes you happy, Ron.
Right. We're not, you know, exactly. So he felt the need to kind of explain the dice setting to us. You don't have to do that. Like I said, if you think it works and you believe it, I want to be there when it works. So more power to you. Sure. But so Ron's biggest superstition was he collects his winning chips in his arm and he kind of cradles them.
And I think Dr. Mike does this too, Josh.
I think Dr. Mike might do it in his hand, but is it his arm? Does he kind of do the same thing?
I mean, Josh, it starts in the hand is where the first couple chips go. But if the roll's good enough, it's going to be up your arm before you know it.
Well, so here we go with Ron. So we had a good roll, and Ron's chips are building up his arms and building up his arm.
I think he called it his chip baby is what he called it, right?
And at one point, a couple things happened. At one point, so the roll ends. He goes to color up, I think, because that was a good enough roll. He was like, I'm done. And off the chips go onto the table. Well, at one point, or no, it was in the middle of a roll, wasn't it?
It was at the end. The roll was over and the dealer was starting to clean things up. And he goes, "Hey, can you guys get a picture of this for me?" And we said, yeah, we'd be glad to take it for you, because he wanted a picture of his chip baby that he had made during this roll.
This is the second one. There's two. It happened twice. Once they went into remember the dealer had to reset all the bets, place bets and come bets and things.
I did have once an active play. That was not good.
But the picture.
The second time was even worse, though, Josh, because when he dropped the chips, he dropped them in right as the base dealer was cleaning up from a 7 ounce.
Oh, yeah.
So he had a lot of chips. And we're not talking two or three chips. We're talking 40 chips that hit the table and rolled immediately towards the dealer's side where he's trying to clean up bets. It's a mess. And so the dealer's trying to figure out which ones are his. He's trying to recreate our bets as best as he can to remember which bets were ours, which bets were Ron's, and which ones are just chips he randomly dropped on the table. I thought it was going to shut the game down because I thought they were going to have to go to the tapes to try to figure it out. The dealers did their best. I remember at one point, one rolled right at me, and I grabbed it and started tossing back. The dealer almost smacked my hand for reaching in. I was like, man, I'm just trying to help. Calm down here. I'm not reaching into your space. But it created a whole situation, and I think the dealers were very glad that he was coloring and leaving.
We were delighted with the whole thing. If I remember correctly, after this all happened, you know, he got all those chips back. He then had to put them back on his arm to recreate so he could take the picture with us.
And that base dealer was staring daggers at him to make sure he came nowhere near the table. In all seriousness, Josh, that I think it's hilarious. It made me laugh. I don't care one way or the other. If you're a dealer in that situation, I can understand why you're upset, because that create a bad situation for everybody. And if it would have shut the table down for them to have to figure out whose it was, you would have had like 8 mean people, you know, ready to go off on this guy. So, Ron, just be careful in the future. He said it was the first time he'd ever dropped chips. We had a great time playing with you.
Yeah, it was great to play with you. And I think the fact that it was after a great roll, like nobody, except for the dealers maybe, but none of the people at the table were mad about it, because everybody was happy with the roll. So,
yeah, everybody was in a good mood. Saturday was fairly uneventful. We played a decent amount of craps that day. We actually had a pretty good time at it. We weren't getting killed by any means compared to our normal way that we play. I think the time we finished the afternoon, Josh, we might have been down $1,000, $1,500 or something. But I mean, that's minuscule when you're talking about after 3 full days of playing.
Right. And we had, Chris, where was it? We had two sessions where we got killed really quickly. Was that Saturday afternoon? Or was
that was actually Saturday evening when we started getting late into the day before our show.
Okay, gotcha. I knew it was somewhere in there. Yeah.
It got a little rough on us, and we'll talk in a second about Sunday morning and what happened then. But Josh is right. We had really bad. It was like we had had such a good 3 days, and then all of a sudden in 45 minutes, I mean, we lost just more money than we lost in like 3 weeks. You know, it was terrible, and it wasn't fun. We were getting killed. It was multiple tables. You wanted to play.
It was so fast. You didn't get any tier credits.
No. Yeah, you wanted to play crapless because you saw an empty crapless table.
That wasn't any better.
Our life depended on it.
No.
Normal table was just as bad. It was just really, really a poor afternoon from that perspective.
I did want to point out, it was when we went over to that crapless table. That's why I remember it. We had a box woman who I don't think I'd played with before. I think I'd seen her, but I don't think I'd played with her before. And it was a $50 table. It was a quarter table. And it was just me and Chris, and we did our buy-in, and she came over right away and said, "Would you like me to raise it to 50 just to give you a little more, you know, a little more space limited?" Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was super cool. We didn't ask. It was just...
No. Yep. She volunteered.
She just offered. That was really nice. So, yeah. And, we like an open table, so that was great.
Yeah. We had seen her the day before at a couple tables that we were playing at. I'm sure she saw us playing together, and I'm sure she knows the way that we bet, and she can look on the computer and find that pretty quick. And she was just trying to keep us happy. You know, that's awesome. We've talked about many times how we asked to have table limits raised to try to keep some of the people from jumping in and out. But for her to volunteer that, even when we're at a lower level than what she's raising it to, I mean, that's great. We had no complaints at all.
So then we fast forward towards our fun Saturday evening.
So Josh and I, before we even left for the trip, had only planned 2 shows. We were going to see Mad Apple, courtesy of MGM, and we were going to see Absinthe, courtesy of Caesars, although we were paying for those multiple times. And then, you know, we started saying, I think it was probably Thursday, Josh, maybe Friday.
I think this was a way for me to get you not to take the red eye.
Yeah, and maybe it was. And I was like, Josh, do you think we should consider adding a show for Saturday night? And he was open to the idea, and we started going back and forth on potential shows that we could see, and we were kind of narrowed down to either like a magic show that we hadn't seen or more of a burlesque sort of show. And I think we ended up on burlesque, and we had both
I think that's where we ended up.
Well, okay, fair. You gave away the spoilers, Josh. I mean, come on.
Sorry.
We were trying to figure out what we were going to do. We looked at different burlesque shows. A lot of them were already sold out. Some of them I had seen and I knew were terrible. So we ended up at the newest burlesque show that I could find in Vegas called Rouge. And Josh, it was over at the Strat.
Yes, it was. And we at first we emptied out our wallets before we went over to the Strat.
I thought about purchasing a gun just to make sure I was good. And, you know, you joke about that, but literally we got out of the taxi in front of the Strat in the porte cochere. And what do you see, Josh?
There are armed security with vests on and everywhere, and dogs and...
Yeah, I mean, like AK-47s in hand, guns everywhere. I mean, it was not a great situation to be walking into.
Like, are we going to be okay here?
But, you know, nonetheless, we walked in. We had probably an hour to kill before the show. And Josh said, well, let's go check out the craps tables. What did we find there?
We found two, if memory serves, we found two open crapless tables, no regular tables open, which, if you know your Vegas crapless history, crapless started at the Stratosphere before it was the Stratosphere. It was what, Vegas World? What's the name of the...
Is that what it was? Bob Stupak's place?
Yeah, Bob Stupak's place. It's something like that. Anyway, Stratosphere is the home. The Strat is the home to crapless crap. So they had two crapless tables going, no regular. I think one was $10 and one was $25. Is that right?
$10 and $25, if I remember correctly. They had, now keep in mind, in their whole casino, they had three crap tables.
Three tables,
two, yeah. Two crapless, one traditional. The traditional was closed, and it didn't look like they had any intentions of opening it.
No, it didn't.
It was 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. If it was going to be open, it was going to be open, and it was not.
So we didn't play any craps. Chris did put $100 or so into a little penny slot machine, I think.
We had got a drink at the bar, and we were just killing some time. And so we just sat down. I played a slot for a minute. Nothing came of it. I probably lost $20, and we finally cashed out and went upstairs. Was to see Rouge. We were a little early. Walked up to the bar, had to order our drinks, and I will start off by saying our normal drink selection we talked about last episode, where Josh gets a pink alcohol and I just get my normal bourbon on the rocks and two waters. It was significantly cheaper at the Strat. I think the total was like $58 as opposed to 80 something. So that was
right.
Great.
It was a lot cheaper. So I go over to there's kind of the guy that's manning the register, and then there's the main bartender. Yeah. And the guy that was manning the register was getting Chris his bourbon. And he sent me over to the main bartender to get my pink alcohol. And I said to the bartender, you know, can you make me something, you know, like a lemon drop, just something sweet, you know, that kind of thing. And he said, I'm a drunk. I can make you a really good, powerful drink that you won't taste the alcohol at all. I know, because I'm a drunk.
He's speaking Josh's language right there.
And let me just tell you, he made that drink, and I hadn't, you know, I just wanted to get kind of a little buzzed on this night. This was our last night of the trip. You know, I didn't want to go too overboard. That thing hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, admittedly, I'm a pretty lightweight drinker, but whatever he put, however much he put in there, it hit me hard. And then partway through the show, Chris got another one. So
I needed another drink. That's something to point out. So I think we had mentioned at previous shows that we had been to Absinthe, and when we went to Mad Apple, they did offer drink service at our seats, which made it nice. They had a cocktail waitress that went around, you know, brought it out at the opportune times. That was not an option at Rouge that I saw. I did not see any cocktail servers. And even worse than that, they didn't even have a bar inside the theater.
You had to completely exit
the theater, go through the security line out like you're leaving, get your drinks, and then walk back in. And I guess just hope that the person that took your ticket remembers you or show it again. I don't know, Josh. I mean, there was nobody there to stop me from coming back in when I went. But,
no, now that you mention it, I didn't think about that, but you're right, because I went out to use the restroom, and the same kind of thing. I just wandered around and came back.
Just walk back in, and it's kind of hard to see where the seats and the tables are, so it made it a little difficult getting back to the seats. I will say that the theater that the show is set in, it's nice. It's tiered, so if you're sitting back towards the back, you're much higher up. It's easier to see what's on stage. I've seen a handful of burlesque shows in Vegas before. Most of the stuff Caesars offers, the X burlesque and the country burlesque. Right. I had seen the zombie one at Planet Hollywood at one point. I will say that I think this one did a better job trying to at least have some sort of plot. Although, I mean, there wasn't much of it, but it tried to have a plot. And I don't know. It's hard to explain if you haven't seen Vegas burlesque shows, but if you go to one of the Caesars ones, it's literally, if it's country burlesque, they're going to play a country song and one girl's going to come out and dance to it. And then they're going to go to the next country song and a different person comes out and dances to it. This one actually had kind of two MCs that tried to drive the show with some, it's hard to call it comedy because it wasn't very funny, but you know what? They tried their best to kind of engage the audience and do some sexual related puns and stuff like that to really get people going. I will say, I thought that the quality of the show was actually pretty darn good. They had decent sets. I did too. It was enjoyable. How do you say these things nicely, Josh, without offending people? They had dancers of every age variety so that everybody felt included.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You could find something that fit your taste.
Yeah, they had the very young people. They had some people that probably shouldn't be on the stage at that age and everything in between. But you know what? It was pretty enjoyable. It's not the best thing I've ever done. I probably wouldn't go again. But at the same time, for a Saturday night where we didn't get murdered at Strat while we were there, I considered it a win by the time we got back.
And Chris, just as kind of a, you know, supporting your thoughts on the show, the crowd was pretty big. I mean, we had a huge line to get in, and the theater, I mean, we were towards the front, but the theater seemed pretty full. And, you know, so I think people know that, or at least people thought that this would be a pretty good show for what it was. And it was.
I mean, I don't know, Josh. I don't stay at the Strat. I'm never going to stay at the Strat, but maybe it's one of those things like all your offers that you get always include two tickets to the show. You know, like
That could very well be. Sure. Yeah.
Give you two tickets to the comedy club that they have or whatever. The D used to do that all the time. I don't know if that's the case with the Strat, and I really don't care because I don't like the place too terribly much. But he is right. That theater probably held, I don't know, Josh, 200 people?
Yeah, 250. Yeah, somewhere in that probably. Yeah.
And it was a good 80-90% full, I felt like. It had much better attendance than Matt Apple.
It did. And so it was it was a topless burlesque show, and it was, I enjoyed it. It was a good way to finish, and I had enough pink alcohol that it warmed me right up. And
honestly, I think Josh was giving me the choice where I could either take him to a strip club for his birthday, or I could take him to a burlesque show, and I chose the burlesque show, and I'm happy that I did, because not only would the strip club cost a hell of a lot more money, I'm not a huge fan of them in general. So that worked out well.
There we go. And I don't remember, did we play any more Saturday night? I don't think we did. Did we after?
No, that show, if you remember correctly, Josh, it didn't start until like 8:30
or 9. Oh, right. It was a later show. Yeah.
It was we act like, you know, oh my gosh, Josh, it was 9 o'clock at night. I was so tired.
It was 11 when we got out.
No, by the time we got back over to Aria, I think it was close to almost midnight, 11:30, midnight. We were both exhausted. Josh knew I was flying out pretty early in the morning on Sunday. Right. So he said, let's just get up early, get one final session in, and then you can be on your way.
Which we did. We woke up Sunday morning and we had a little crap session that I think went well, didn't it, Chris?
It did. We were actually really thankful because if you remember correctly, Saturday's craps kind of finished poorly. Those 40 minutes just drained the heck out
wiped
of us.
Wiped us out.
I mean, just really did a bad job. Sunday morning, we had a really good recovery at the craps table. That went really well. We made back a few grand or so out of the losses that we had. And then we finished with a final slot session before I was about to walk out of the door. And we ended up with a great hand pay that each gave us back some money too.
Yeah, it was a good last session that, you know, as I said in the last episode, in episode 32, we didn't finish ahead on the trip, but we didn't lose that much. And in comparison to our previous trips, it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for being what it is, an entertainment trip, I had a great time. We were out there 4 days. It really didn't cost me anything at all when you factor in 4 days of entertainment, staying in suites, beautiful suites at Aria, generic rooms at Wynn, all that food, shows, you know, all that stuff. So, no, that was really cool. Then, Josh, I have a note that you used your platinum airfare, $600 from MGM.
Yeah, so our PCS had reminded me to use my $600 credit that I get with being platinum at MGM. So at the very last day, I went up to this may have even been after Chris left. I can't remember if you were still there or not, but I went to the Total Rewards desk. Not Total Rewards, sorry.
MGM Rewards.
Sorry, Caesars. Or sorry, MGM. So I went to the MGM Rewards desk. Fortunately, there wasn't much of a line. So the way it works with your airfare credit is you have to go to the rewards desk, and I told the guy what I was doing. Then I had to show on my phone my receipt for my ticket, basically, how much I had spent on the round trip to and from Vegas. It doesn't have, you could do one leg, they'd reimburse you for that too. So I showed that, and he said, okay. So then he calls over to the cage and says, I have somebody coming over for travel reimbursement or whatever the language is. It gives him my player number. Then I go over to the cage, and I had to wait in the line and, you know, that whole thing. Then I go, and I say, I'm here for my airfare money. And she says, can I see your ticket receipt? So I give her that. And then it was super easy. She saw that it was more than $600. Out comes $600 in cash.
Okay.
It was like,
now, do you have to have a printed copy of the receipt? Can you just show them on your phone?
No, just on my phone. Yep. I just pulled up my ticket basically and found out where the dollar stuff was on it.
And did they ask you how you wanted the money back? Did they give you options between cash, free play, anything like that?
Yep, they did. They said that, you know, I could have it as free play or I could have it in cash. And I said, I'll take the cash since I was on my way out the door.
Yeah, that worked out really well. I'm going to do that on my next trip as well. So I'm looking forward to getting that $600 that helps with those ridiculous flights heading out to Vegas from the East Coast. So that'll be good.
And in theory, and I have it, so I used my 2022 $600, but now that I've already made platinum for this year, I actually have another $600 that I can use whenever I want to.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely take advantage of it. So we finished up. We made some money on craps. We made some money on slots. I was ready to get the heck out of there. Thankfully, MGM had arranged transportation for me, which made it very nice. Until I completely messed that situation up and felt like a gigantic jackass.
Chris is texting me. I just made a fool of myself. So what happened, Chris?
Oh, I did. I did. So they had arranged a limo from over at the Sky Suite entrance for me, which was great because I'm staying there. I walked outside with my bags, and there was a woman standing probably 10 feet in front of that door. And for those that haven't stayed at Sky Suite, something that's different between that and like Wynn's, you know, Tower Suites entrance, the south entrance, is that the Aria Sky Suite entrance is a completely private entrance that's gated. You can't get back there unless you're a Sky Suite patron, you know, that's valeting your car or, you know, getting a ride, whatever have you. So when I walk outside, there's nobody else out there. It's not a busy porte cochere or anything. And there was one lady standing 10 feet in front of the door, and she was wearing a suit, I guess. And she said, "Hi, can I help you?" And I said, "Hey," I said, "my host had arranged a ride." I gave her my name and all that. She said, "Oh, I'll be glad to help you with that." And she took my bags and walk over towards a limo that was sitting there. So I thought, okay. And she starts walking straight towards the back of the car to put the bags in there. And like anybody else, if you've ever had, you know, a valet or anything help you with your, you know, bags or anything, you want to tip them.
You're getting out a few dollars for the valet. Sure.
And she was just kind of ignoring, you know, she wasn't like walking to my door, opening it for me and then standing there waiting. Cause usually there's kind of this, hey, where's my money sort of thing.
Right.
So I had to almost walk to the back of the limo and I handed her $5. And I was like, thank you. Cause I had two bags. She opened the door for me and she was putting my bags away. That seemed like a fair, you know, fair gratuity for that situation. And then I get in and I close the door. And I look ahead and she walks around the vehicle and gets in and she's actually my driver. And I did not know that. So as soon as I got into the car, I'm thinking to myself, oh no, this person thinks that I just tipped her $5 for taking me to the airport in a limo. And I'm thinking, she thinks I'm the cheapest asshole. She's still talking to me and I'm trying to engage her. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
You probably put on like the extra syrup trying to be nice.
Oh my gosh. I was trying to, well, you know, you say that, Josh, but then I felt like I shouldn't talk to her because I'm such an asshole. What guy gives $5 and then doesn't say anything, you know? So it was a really awkward ride over there. And before we can get out of the car, I usually tip $20 on a limo ride back to the airport. That's kind of my standard. I pulled out $40 immediately, just so by the time she was getting my bags out of the trunk, I could hand her that money.
She was extra happy.
And I thanked her again. And yeah, she was very thankful. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I don't know if I made her day by fixing the situation, or she's like, wow, this guy, he must have been embarrassed and had to do something about it. But it was horrible, and I felt terrible.
Oh, I know what you mean. She's probably delighted at the end. One thing, as you were saying that story, I was thinking about, I've started to tip. Well, we talk occasionally about, you know, the specifics of our tipping, so I'm not too shy about it. But I've started to tip $30 on Sky Suites limos to and from. And I can't tell you how happy the MGM drivers seem to be with that. They're like over the moon happy, which is,
I don't think they get tipped as much as they typically do at Wynn, because we've talked about that. At Wynn, I typically, pretty much any airport pickup, I give $30 because they have to get out of their car and come in and greet me with a sign, and then $20 on the way back. That's kind of my norm. But yeah, you are right. MGM, they seem, you know, I guess they're just not used to getting that as much. So maybe they're just, it's like that with all tips though, Josh. I found like that at the craps table too, where they're,
they're
appreciative, because maybe they just don't see that as much. I don't know.
But anyway, I wanted, if hopefully y'all have that opportunity at some point. It's fun to go into those Sky Suites private porte cochere.
I like how you say y'all more than I do. And I'm supposed to be, you know, the big redneck living in Kentucky, but you say y'all all the time.
So growing up, my dad, who's, you know, was from Washington State, no Southern, you know, we used to say howdy
about you.
Yeah. Used to say howdy all the time. And so I started, you know, cause you just do what your dad does. I said howdy all the time. One time when I worked for the airline, I was greeting passengers, or, you know, they were getting on plane, and I was saying, howdy, have a good flight, or you know, whatever. And the person said, are you from Texas?
Nope, nothing like it.
And it wasn't making fun or anything like that. It was just kind of how I talk. So I think some of that from my dad, Southern affectations, I don't know, still rub off on me.
Okay, so let's wrap up though, Josh, by talking about, so we had 2 days at Wynn, 2 days at Aria. I know our opinion shifted a little bit while we were there, but what are your overall thoughts now on these two properties after staying in them back to back and your experiences you had at both?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about it. You know, we talked about it on our last Patreon show. We've talked about it here and there. I'm in love right now with Sky Suites and the treatment that we're getting. And a lot of that is due, most of that is due to our PCS, who's just taking really good care of us. And honestly, it feels like MGM, the property, our PCS, however it is, just appreciates us more than Wynn does. And I hate to say that. I have a soft spot in my heart for Wynn and so on. But, you know, you want to be valued at whatever level you play. You want to be as valued as you can. You want to feel like you're getting something for your play, maybe something a little extra for your play. Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, it's on the MGM side for us. So I still love Wynn, but I think we're going to be playing more at, you know, at Aria or at the MGM properties for as long as we feel like we're, you know, they're really appreciating us.
Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit, but at the end of the day, I mean, you just have to it's a value proposition that you have to make a decision on. And when you're talking about comparing line item by line item and saying, okay, at Aria, I'm going to get their penthouse Sky Suite, which is not on the top floor, by the way. When you're going to get a penthouse Sky Suite versus just as a standard room at Wynn, or if you're going to get, you know, show tickets to anything that you want versus, you know, almost feeling like you have to beg to get them. And, oh, can I get a ride over here? Sure. Versus, can I get a ride to this show? No, we can't do that. That's not part of your tier. When you have, you know, situations like that and gift baskets and all these other little things that they do, it just makes it an easy choice. I get more free play at MGM.
Yep.
You know, I really don't worry. It feels like anything that I want to get, I can get. And I definitely don't have that feeling at Wynn. And I understand that Wynn caters to a much higher level player. I'm not saying it's their fault or anything, or they're doing anything wrong. We're just going to take advantage of the situation that we have in front of us, and we'll ride this horse until he dies. If our guy loses his job tomorrow, well, we may be right back over at Wynn, or we might be at Caesars. Who knows? We're just going to go to the place that probably treats us the best.
And we hear from other people. I mean, I think we had a message the other day. I don't remember which channel it came in on, but somebody raving about their Caesars host and, you know, how much they love Caesars and their host took great care of them. I think if you're fortunate enough to play at a level where you have a host or you can be hosted and you have a good one, that can make all the difference, no matter what the property is. You know, really feeling like you have somebody taking care of you just makes the trip so much nicer.
I won't spoil it in case, you know, we have a lot of patrons listening right now, which I'm sure we do. But on our last Patreon episode, we did talk a lot. And I posed a question to Josh, you know, is a host the most important person on property for somebody that plays at our sort of level. And we had a nice back and forth about that, because I think that that person can be critical in what your feelings are towards, you know, a whole property or a group or anything like that. So check that out if that interests you. But yeah, it was a fun trip, Josh. Did you enjoy it? Are you happy that you're a year older now?
I'm not happy that I'm a year older, but I did enjoy it a lot. Thanks for sticking with me for the whole 4 days, Chris. I know that's not always easy
not
for
easiest.
You.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Josh, it's not every day you get into your 60s, so I felt like I didn't have a lot of these opportunities left.
Well, you're going to be hitting your 50s here and, you know, in a couple weeks.
in 12 years. Yeah, I'll be right there.
Anyway, okay. It was a great time. We tried to do some, you know, all the different shows and things just to kind of spice up our trips a little bit, and it was a lot of
fun.
We did. So thank you.
We had a great time. Yeah. So happy birthday to Josh. Okay, let's move on. Josh, we got a message on the CV Facebook group from Brian. Brian said, question for the group. I mostly play at Caesars properties, made Diamond Elite the last 5 years. I take advantage of their multiplier weeks to maintain status. Since El Dorado took over, they have gotten tough on their tier credits. Outside of the no resort fees and one annual $600 flight reimbursement, I don't get any additional benefits, i.e. upgraded to suites, spa packages for the wife, anything like that. I've used on-property host, independent host, and if anything, it's worse than what I can book myself on the app. I'm ready to switch over to MGM. Any recommendations on which properties are more generous with tier credits, amenities? I'm in Vegas once a quarter, twice a month locally. I do travel the Eastern Coast and Biloxi frequently. Average bet's 250. I'm based in South Carolina. So he had a lot in there, Josh. Is there any MGM properties you feel like are going to be more, you know, lucrative as a player to get more out of them?
Well, the lower tier you stay, the more that MGM will give you just in corporate offers. And I would assume the more that a host would give you as well. I can get four times the amount of food and beverage if I stay at Excalibur than what we get at Aria, that kind of thing. So, you know, the more that the casino values the room product or the food and beverage product at the property, the less they're going to give you, I would think. But at the same time, if you have a good host, I don't think that matters as much. I mean, I think that we're getting, you know, really nice. We're getting the same, this sounds weird, but I'm getting the same treatment as far as food and beverage and free play that I would get at Excalibur, but I'm getting an Aria Sky Suites room because we have a good PCS. So I'm getting over and above my corporate offer. But just as far as amenities and food and beverage credit and things, I think, you know, the lower tier property you go, the more you'll get.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about that before. Imagine what we could get if we go and play at Excalibur for a weekend, what the host could do. I mean, that would be pretty interesting to see. And maybe one day we'll try that. The lower the property you go, the more you're going to get out of them. That's almost always the case. You asked about tier credits and who gives more. That doesn't really change. I mean, they have a system. It's based off your average bet if you're a table games player. So other than, you know, maybe a box that wants to be more generous at a place like that, but you can get that anywhere. So don't worry about tier credit earning rates. They're going to be equal across the Vegas market, no matter where you're playing, just based on how much you are playing while you're there. I mean, other than that, I mean, we've talked about it 100 times. It's all luck of the draw when it comes to these people that you get. That Caesars property may have 15 great hosts and 5 bad ones, and you got a bad one and you're stuck. And Josh and I have both had that experience at Bellagio and Aria, where we've had hosts at those properties that were terrible. And we just stopped playing there, and that's when Wynn came into play. And now we happen to get lucky enough to get connected with somebody that's excellent and does their job very well. And so we're back over there doing our thing. And if that guy leaves, we may be miserable again. So, you know, it really is luck of the draw. I wish there was something better we can tell you. You just got to pray you get the right person that's willing to help you and looking for your kind of player. And, you know, we've said before, you can always ask to be reassigned to a different host. That is a nightmare process, though, and I can't guarantee it's ever going to happen. You typically end up right back at the same place with the person that's now mad that you tried to leave them. So it's not really a win-win unless you're ready to bounce properties and aren't coming back.
Yep. And I will say that having a $250 average bet, you know, should get you nicely, you know, should get you a host and should get you pretty nicely taken care of at most, you know, most MGM properties, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're willing to go like in the mid tier, like a New York or a park.
Yep.
Then, I mean, you should be able to rake in places like that. Don't go to Bellagio first thing and really try to hit them hard. But, you know, I think sticking with a middle tier property would probably be a win-win for them and for you. So that would be awesome.
Agreed.
Josh, I thought we'd finish up this week with just a really nice comment that we got from Jordan on the CV Facebook group. He said, Chris and Josh, I have to say, I really appreciate the podcast and the community you have created. The comments are 99% positive, encouraging, and lighthearted like your show. I'm in other craps groups on Facebook, and every comment is about setting dice and how terrible somebody's strategy is. Thanks for all the work that you guys do. Keep it up. So, you know, thank you, Jordan. We really do appreciate messages like that. And I think that's honestly what Josh and I are shooting for. The Facebook group is a very positive, reassuring place. We don't have negativity. And quite frankly, if you do come in there and act like an ass, I'm going to block you anyways and get you out of there. I mean, we want people to answer questions nicely for others, to support people that are doing like-minded things. And if you can't tell from our show, Josh and I are just two idiots that like to gamble on the side as a hobby.
Right.
And we don't take this very seriously because there's no reason to. This isn't, there's a lot of podcasts out there where the people doing it are, you know, this is their job and they're in this industry. That's not us. This is just fun for us. It's a hobby. We enjoy it. We could stop tomorrow, you know, doing it. It wouldn't affect us at all. So we just like to have fun with it.
Well, and it's kind of who we are, I think, as people. We are pretty easygoing people, and we're not, you know, we're not, we might tease dice setters or tease, you know, here and there, tease each other. Chris might, you know, get mad or cranky about something or other, but for the most part, it's all done in good spirit and good intentions. And that's what we want the Facebook group to be about. That's what we want the whole Crap Vegas, you know, community or whatever you call it to be about. We're not here to say your way of playing is right or wrong unless you play the don't. You know, that's our one carve out, I would say. But other than that
I agree. Yeah, if you're a don't player, screw you. We don't want you. Yeah. Don't come around us. Yeah, take that, Tim Lawson. Yeah.
But even that, you know, we're just having fun. But no, we want that, and we mean that seriously. We're recreational gamblers. We're in this for fun, and we hope that you guys, as our listeners, are too.
Yeah.
So thanks, Jordan.
And I think over the past year, 14 months, whatever it is that we've been doing this, Josh, I bet we've met over 100 people.
Sure.
It's been amazing meeting all of you, playing with you. I've had a great time. I know a lot of people have said they're nervous to walk up on us in a role or anything. No, come on up. We will be glad to play with you, shake your hand, whatever it is you want to do. We just appreciate you listening. So, you know, thanks for, you know, putting this on every 2 weeks and giving us an hour to vent about something. So we love it. We love all of you. Thank you again. There's not much else we can say.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay. So let's talk about Patreon. A lot of good things going on over there. That's patreon.com/crapvegas. Thank you to all the new patrons who have signed up over the last couple of weeks. I think our most recent episode, Josh, was talking about how we handle losses, you know, how that affects our, you know, our mindset into things and future trips. Talking some more about good and bad dealers and a lot of other things that I can't even remember at this point because it's been so long. But new patrons this week were Jeffrey L., David P., KG on Twitter, Travel Fanboy. Whoa, insert the record scratch there. If you got support from Adam Bauer, I mean, what else could you possibly want?
I'm pretty sure he's just doing it out of pity.
I think he felt sorry for us. I think that's right. What he said in his message. He said, I'm giving you 1 month, $5, and then I'm out. But, you know, I know it's closing soon. I think that's what he said. So thank you to Adam. Dan and the Vegan Gambler. And I had to make sure that that's what that said. It didn't say Vegas Gambler or something. It's the Vegan Gambler.
Right.
So and Chris, I wanted to make sure I got that right.
And you mentioned we do this every 2 weeks. We actually do it every week. If you're a patron, you get to hear the regular show and you get to hear the Patreon show. So you can hear us once a week if you're a patron.
It's almost like we put a lot of time into this damn thing to get it to sound so good.
It sure is.
Oh my gosh, Josh, I can't tell you how many people have asked me in the past 6-8 months about, you know, podcasting and what the toll is really like. Is it hard? Is it easy? And I always tell them the same thing. It's really fun. We have a great time doing it. But don't, you know, kid yourself and think that there's no work associated with it, because for every hour of recording, it's probably actually 2.5 to 3 hours worth of time at a minimum trying to get that thing ready. And then there's more time trying to get the thing edited and then posted and all the, it's a lot. Thankfully, we both have jobs that allow us to have some freedom with our time to make sure we can fit all this in. And we've had to move some schedules like crazy before to try to get everything done. But, we're men of our word, and if we tell you there's an episode coming out that day, we get it out that day.
And we've been pretty good about that, I would say. So yeah, it's not as easy as we make it look, but you know, that's what they say about all the really good professionals.
The really just good ones.
Make it look easy, right?
We are so damn good.
We are the Michael Jordan of Crap Vegas podcasters.
Jeez, no ego here at all, people. None. upcoming trips, Josh. So we have two upcoming trips. One is the first weekend of August. That's Josh's nerd pew pew con fest thing, where I'm now staying at Aria. He's over at Caesar's Palace. But I hear that there's been some rumblings of your situation changing, and you might get to play a little bit more with me.
Well, a couple things, Chris. I don't think that our regular audience knows that you switched over from Caesars to Aria. Oh. So we announced that on Patreon. But
Breaking news.
Chris decided, why am I staying at Caesar's Palace that weekend? And I'm not going to get to play with Josh much. What the hell am I doing? Why don't I just go back and play where I want to play?
Yeah, so my trip is now over at Aria. I have a Sky Suite penthouse just like usual now, and it will probably be on the sixth floor, but you know what? It's better than Caesar's Palace.
Well, maybe we'll see. I'm still at Caesar's Palace, and I plan to stay at Caesar's Palace, but what Chris was getting at, so the writer's strike and the SAG writer's strike is impacting the Star Trek convention. I think it's going to impact San Diego Comic-Con a lot. It's impacting the Star Trek convention, but we don't know exactly how much yet. But long story short, I won't go into all the nerdy pew-pew details. I will say that it may mean that I have some more time, or at least I'll want to spend some more time gambling with Chris. So TBD on that.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And Josh and I were even having a conversation before we hit the play button today, or the record button, I guess. We were talking, I guess it gets difficult, and I'm sure some people have, have this issue already, but you become so used to playing on credit at these properties and having that credit available and stuff. Don't worry about the hotels and stuff like that, but like from a logistics standpoint, we've talked in the past how I don't really vary my bets when I play at different properties. I play the same way. And to make that work, staying at like a Caesar's Palace, I either have the option of opening credit, which is a waste of time because I'm only going to play there once a year at most, and they'll probably shut the line down in 3 months when I don't go, or to send a bunch of, money in on a front wire, an amount on it with the cage, so I don't have to worry about that sort of thing. And both of those things are a real nightmare to handle, and I really don't want to carry that kind of cash. So it puts me in this predicament of, how do I make this even work from a logistics standpoint? So for me, staying at a place like Aria is so much easier because I don't have to worry about actually getting money to the casino and then getting it back when I'm done.
Right. Yeah, that's a big factor. And I was thinking about that too. I don't have a line of credit at Caesars. If I play it, at Caesars or one of the Caesars properties, I have to figure that out too. I have to bring cash, or I have to bum it off Chris or whatever.
Not available, sorry.
I did want to say, I forgot to write this down, and I apologize for not writing down who you were, but somebody reached out to me and suggested that I might be able to get the diamond in a day or diamond in 2 days bonus, thing at Caesars if I get enough play in, which would then waive my resort fee. So I hadn't thought of that, but that's actually very possible that I'd play enough to, but I don't know. Chris is shaking his head. You don't think so?
No, I know Caesars earning rates. I don't think you're coming anywhere near there.
But, all right. Well, fair enough.
I mean, if it was a normal trip day, Josh, where you actually playing
sure,
all day
yeah.
and doing your thing, yeah.
But if I'm just playing for a couple hours,
on an abridged day, yeah, I don't see that happening. Second trip that we did want to mention, we'll be out there September 15th weekend. That's my birthday trip weekend. It's only going to be 2 nights for me. Josh is going to stick around at least an extra week like he always does after I'm gone to make me upset, even though it's my birthday. We will be back at Aria again. Unfortunately, got the boot this time for my birthday, so sorry to them.
Yep, and we're going to go and see. Oh, I think we're going to go and see.
Yes,
right?
I think
that's what we decided.
We're only going to see one show because it is a shorter trip and flight delays and all that stuff. You never know. But I think, we're going to see while we're there. I just saw it 6 months ago, 4 months ago.
You saw it last year at the Star Trek convention, I think. You were with your girlfriend.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure that's when you...
Has it been
That was the trip. Yeah, I think it was.
Holy cow. Golly,
could be wrong, but I think so.
Yeah. No, I'll have to let her know I'm going again without her. We'll be there that weekend, CNO, doing a lot of fun things. Those tickets, thankfully, will be comped again. So thank you to MGM for that, making it enjoyable. Other than that, Josh, quick reminder for everyone to please subscribe, like, and review our podcast on your favorite podcasting app and visit our merch store. That's crapvegas.com/shop. I did want to give a special shout out, Josh, to a listener, GTOMO23. I don't know if that's Gotomo or how you're supposed to pronounce that. He left a super nice review of the podcast on Apple Podcast. It said, always a great listen. I really enjoy the stories and perspective on all things gambling. This podcast, above all the others I listen to, gets me the most excited to return to Vegas. Their Patreon is also very good and worth subscribing. You might even run into some tickets just for being a member. And now that I read it, Josh, I know who it is. It's the person that was lucky enough to get our absinthe tickets from the first week that I bought for the wrong date. So he got
Thanks for leaving
nice
a review.
Handout.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair trade, right? A review.
Absolutely.
$1,000 worth of tickets. Yeah, that was great. No, seriously. I'm glad that somebody could take advantage of them, have a great time. It made much more sense to try to, give them away somebody that could use them than try to sell them or something like that. We don't need to do that. So
for sure.
Yeah, we just thank you all signing up. And if that's something we can do to reward some of you guys, we appreciate it. Anything else, Josh, we want to talk about before we get out of here this week?
So, Chris, I was going to say one thing. This is really hard-hitting, Vegas podcasting coming up. But so I posted a question on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I guess it was a poll. And I said, "And if you're getting ice for your room, how do you do it? Do you take the bag to the ice mm-hmm. machine? Do you take the bucket and the bag to the ice machine? Do you
Which take the only right answer,
but just the bucket to the ice machine, or do you call room service?" Those were the four options, So what I want you to do is I want you to tell me out of those four, kind of what do you usually do? And then I'm going to go through a couple of the responses we got, and you tell me, have you ever done that?
Oh, wow. Wow. So there's only a couple properties in Vegas that I can think of that will even bring you ice through room service. And it's mostly the really nice ones. I know Wynn right. will, Cosmo will, Bellagio.
Sky Suites will.
Yeah, Aria Sky Suites will. I don't think the Aria Normal Rooms will, but I mean, yeah, there's not many options there that take that in play.
I've had cutlery delivered, by the way, at Sky Suites.
You are the worst. So to get back to your question, the actual ice bin with the bag is the only correct answer. That's the most sanitary. It makes the most sense. It's the easiest to carry. I could potentially accept the bag by itself, but that's only at like an Excalibur Park sort of place that you can get away with that. And just taking the bucket by itself, that is disgusting. And don't
that's
get
disgusting.
Anywhere near me.
I agree.
You don't want to know what's been in that bucket. I mean, just anything related to it. So please do not do that. You are asking for health problems.
Okay. So a few of the responses we got on Twitter, or I got on Twitter, that said, take the bucket to the Tower Suites bar and ask for clean ice.
Ooh.
Have you ever done that?
No, definitely have not.
How about use the Sky Suites ice maker in the room, in the fridge? I didn't know there was such a thing.
I didn't know there was either, but that's
apparently in the Sky Suites. We have little refrigerators in the Sky Suites. Apparently, they have ice makers. We have to check that out. One person said, "Take a cooler to the ice machine."
Okay, the Strat. Yep, gotcha.
One person said, "Call the butler." One person said, "Take the laundry bag from the closet, the plastic laundry bag." Have you ever done that?
The plastic one. I mean, I guess it's theoretically the same as using the normal ice bag, and it is much heavier, so it shouldn't break when you put ice in it or rip.
You can get more ice
like
in
that.
It.
And you could get a lot more ice. I still don't encourage that. You have a bucket and a bag for a reason, but okay, whatever. I could probably live with that.
Somebody said, wash the bucket and use that. No.
What, do they give you dish soap in these suites now? And, drying towel? No, you don't have any of that. So no, stop it.
And the best answer, Chris, I want to know if you've done, somebody said, buy a styrofoam cooler somewhere between the airport and the hotel, fill it with ice, put it in the bathtub, and poke a few holes in the bottom so the water drains into the bathtub as the ice melts.
Why? Why are you people doing this? This is not a hard thing to figure out. Yes, there are multiple options at most things in life, but you should come to the correct conclusion on these things. And that one, what are people doing? Come on now.
Just take the bucket in the bag, or just the bag if that's your thing.
I'll tolerate number two. Number one is correct. That's fine.
Or call room service if you're at Wynn.
If you're at a nice enough place, do that. And then just make sure you give them a big old tip for walking all the way up there to give you a bag of ice because you're too lazy to get it another way. But that's okay. It is Vegas. You should enjoy yourself. So be it.
That's what I got.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening.
That was hard hitting.
Josh for today. Yeah. And his tough hitting questions. We will talk to you guys next week on Patreon or 2 weeks from now on our normal show.
Thanks, everybody.
Vegas, here we come.
Thanks for listening to the Crap Vegas Podcast.
Have you ever been to Vegas?
Check out all our recent news and our Vegas trip calendar by visiting crapvegas.com.
See you in Vegas.